plate a potential nugget.
And moving along, you speak about the Dreyfus model of learning, which has 5 steps. Novice, advanced, beginner, competent, proficient, and expert. I'm curious about how, what's your research or experience shown in terms of how we should adapt a learning approach as we move through these different points in the curve? Are there nuances that you've picked up in terms of how we should adapt our style as we move along?
Well, I mean, just to explain to listeners if they're not familiar, the Dreyfus skills, it was a group of brothers that were with the University of California and were doing research actually for the U.S. Air Force back in the 70s and came up with this model of how we move through these different stages, novice, advanced, beginner, competent, proficient, expert. And, you know, first of all, I'll say that I found elements of what they said in my own practice. I was sort of living them all the time. And I mean, one point they make, for example, is that novices really pay very close attention to rules. And I don't mean just like actual rules, like the rules of chess, but sort of, you know, tips and heuristics that are out there and very, I'll say very, very localized problems. A beginner driver, you know, tends to look at the front of the car or their hands on the wheel, when really what makes for good driving is to look as far down the road as possible to anticipate what is going to happen. But there's such an overwhelming information load going on for novices that they can only handle a certain flow at one time. So to sort of stick to these basic rules of thumb that you've been given. And so, you know, in chess, for example, the beginner is simply trying to pay attention to, how do I move? How can I move the knight again? He can go sideways, or they might know simple suggestions like don't move your queen too early, don't trade pieces. Of certain beginner rules that are given, and so you sort of go up the, as you go up the chain, you begin to move away from those what are called context-free rules, and start to actually pay attention to the context around you. And so, you know, the driver will not simply, they're taught to, you know, obey every traffic signal, but there may come a time where a traffic signal is malfunctioning, or there's a truck parked in stuck in an intersection and you have to go around and do something that's not in the rules. So, you know, the whole process of learning is moving away from those rules, beginning to do your own analysis, and then eventually relying on a bit more intuition. Not just rules and analysis, but sort of that gut instinct. And then finally, the last step, expert, would be just simply, I mean, just knowing something inside and out. And the game of chess, for example, I mean, a chess grandmaster can play blindfolded. They can remember a game from 2 weeks ago. They can remember the world championship game from last year, probably every move. They've so internalized that thing. The Grandmaster Jonathan Rowson gave an interesting example of, or, you know, definition of this. He said, you know, a chess expert has run out of unfamiliar mistakes to make. You know, so even if an expert makes a mistake or is about to make a mistake, they know they sort of know they are. Whereas the novice is unskilled and unaware of it. So, you know, I'm not sure I had any flashes of insight in terms of how to move through these stages or that they even really were discrete stages. I think it is more sort of a continuum and you just, you can sort of, and sometimes you could be inhabiting both worlds. And this is a point we should probably make about learning is that it's not often linear. And if you were trying to learn juggling, for example, you might have done 40 cycles of three ball pattern one day and then struggled to do 6 or 7 the next day. And, you know, so you might have been briefly inhabiting the world of the advanced beginner and then gone back to beginner. And you know, sometimes you just have to, again, change up your practice, take a break, walk away. So, I mean, I think the Dreyfus, you know, it's an interesting way to think about it and is generally, you know, sort of correct. It's maybe more sort of a descriptive tool rather than an actual, you know, way to approach learning. Because I don't think there's a way for beginners to cheat and skip that stage. Yeah. And simply, you can't simply start as a competent surfer. You sort of have to, you have to be a beginner.
It's interesting you speak about going away and coming back again. I happened to speak to ex-world number one in chess, a gentleman called Vishwanathan Anand from India, on the podcast as well. And he said that, you know, sometimes he would do a puzzle late at night and he would sort of, his mind would be confused, but he would wake up with a clear mind. You know, when he woke up, he could see the solution in his head. And his point was, we sometimes underestimate the power of the subconscious. You know, it's back to the inner game of tennis that we spoke about. You know, we sometimes think that we are processing these things, but actually the inner work that's happening is often a lot more powerful than the outer work that we put in consciously. So his point was, you know, sometimes just clocking in the hours and then also taking advantage of sleep sometimes can be a great opportunity to sort of come back and fight the battle another day.
Yes, I mean, that's a fantastic point. And that is something that you can find abundant evidence for, the benefit of sleep upon the learning process, and or even napping. And not trying to cram too much practice into one session. This has sort of has come out in the learning literature over the last few decades, the idea of distributed practice and you know, doing a little bit each day rather than these huge chunks. Mm. And when you don't have the time to sleep, there's even little tricks, thinking of chess. You know, it's been suggested, you know, simply closing your eyes and then opening them again and looking at the board might, a quick sort of mental refresh to give yourself, you know, actually fresh eyes, the eyes of a beginner, perhaps trying to look at the board in a new way, rather than simply gazing more intently at it.
Wow.
When I was at London Business School, one of the professors of strategy, Freck Vermeulen, introduced me to the term diseconomies of time compression. We were talking about sustainable competitive advantage and how sometimes companies accumulate an advantage over years and that can be hard to undo. And in that context, he spoke about this. The simple way to explain the phenomenon is this. If you learnt the piano for 1 hour, 5 days a week for 4 weeks, that would be 20 hours of learning the piano. This would be far, far superior to you learning 10 hours for 2 days or 5 hours for 4 days. I guess we all know this intuitively, but the more I read around and researched around expertise, I do think there's no substitute to playing the long game and slowly growing up the curve of judgment and capability in a topic. If you're dedicated to the craft and are learning, just drilling in one place for a long period of time is a competitive advantage in today's times.